Okay, well, we're going to start a new series today, and this one, last one, the prayer series, was in part built around one of the core values of this church, and if you're not familiar with our core values, they're on our website, they're also on the brochures that we have back on the information table back there. The core value we're going to be working on in this series really kind of comes around full devotion. We believe, that's our core value statement, we believe that full devotion to Christ and His cause is normal for every believer. What is full devotion? Full devotion means I give God the right to lead every part of my life. There isn't this where I kind of divide off one part of my life and that's God's, the rest is mine. We don't buy into that as normal for every Christian. Now, understandably, we come to Christ in faith at a certain place in our lives, and then we kind of grow into that. I didn't know about the full devotion thing when I first became a believer, but as I understood more about what that meant, I realized I had to make another decision. My first decision, will I trust Christ to be my Savior, yes or no? Having made that decision as a yes, then at another point, I had to make a second decision. Will I let God run my life? And that one took a while. That was a struggle for me. Some of you may be in that same boat. So we're going to work on that because full devotion has to do with our choices, kind of the big scheme of our life, the choices that we make day in and day out. Let me just say, full devotion has a lot of competition. It does. There's a lot of competition in our lives for letting God have His way in our lives. So we're going to kind of work at this, talk about this. Also, I want to do this series because we live in an age of choices galore. Decisions, you make more decisions every day than a lot of folks have had to make for a long period of history. For a lot of folks, for a lot of time, it was pretty simple. You had to go out, either raise your food, harvest your food or whatever, prepare it, live your life. You didn't make a lot of decisions. It was just kind of surviving, getting through. Well, we live at a different time now. How do we choose? How do we sift through all the options and choices that are available to us? Choices that make God proud. Referring back to a series we did a number of months ago, Making God Proud. How do we make decisions that make God proud? How do we sort through the things and kind of get out the bad stuff, keep the good stuff? How do we do that? I'm going to give you just two quick examples of people's choices taken from the headlines. The first is local. 24-year-old Dante Rashawn Morris made the choice to shoot two Tampa police officers when they stopped him. Many of you heard the story. It's been a few weeks ago now. And after they were shot, they died of their wounds. Okay? Now, that choice to shoot these two officers came in a series of choices. Okay? There was a direction that this person's life has been taking him to that moment. That wasn't something kind of out of the ordinary. There was kind of a path that was being walked out in this young man's life that led him to that point. Well, here's another choice. Zach Johnson, some of you may know his name. I think Henry probably knows him. Zach Johnson is from Iowa, so I'm kind of partial being an Iowa native. But he's a professional golfer. And he won the 2007 Masters, and he's won seven tournaments at minimum. Interestingly, he and his wife, Kim, announced this past week that they are beginning a foundation to, and I quote, build, nurture, and cater to strong families and helping children in need in our community. He still lives in Iowa. He says, because there are a lot of children in need. Now, both Dante and Zach and Kim made choices from a place inside of themselves. And I'm going to describe that place as our moral compass. You're going to hear me use that term, moral compass, refer to that. In fact, I've got some compasses up here on the bench. And before you leave today, you're going to have a compass. that you're going to be able to take with you just to kind of remind you of what we're working on in this series. In fact, I even have some that have magnets on the back of them so you can put it out in your refrigerator just to kind of remind you. Don't worry about it. Some of you are thinking about the magnet messes up the compass. Don't worry about it. These compasses are not being messed up by the magnet. Trust me. All right. So we'll get those to you after the service. So that place inside of us, out of which we make our decisions, make our choices, is called our moral compass. What is that? It influences us to make our choices. We have that on the outline. Okay, you're already set and going. Good. Good choices, bad choices, whether it's obey, rebel, it comes out of our moral compass. Now, some of you probably shared this experience. When I was in basic training, I was, along with a lot of other people, given a map and a compass. And we were trained on how a compass functions. It points north. That's why you don't have to worry about these, because they point any direction. Some of them are stuck. But anyway, they weren't expensive. I'm sure that the ones that they gave us in the military were exceptionally expensive, because they pay more than they should for everything. But anyway, so we were given this compass. It points north. Here's the map. Here are the degrees. Here's how this thing works. And once you knew that it pointed north, and then you could adjust it, turn it, for the direction you wanted to travel, depending on where you wanted to end up. So we had those exercises. We had to do that. I think it was one whole day, and we had all, and they had us out in the woods and stuff, and they had paths that were made so you could follow. Once you kind of were on the course, you knew where to go. But they had somebody at the end, and they kind of check out where you're supposed to be, and they knew where we were supposed. So they would check it out to see if we were learning. So here's why this is important. Whatever we pick as our north is going to determine the kind of decisions we make. Ultimately, it's going to determine where we arrive, where we end up in a final sense, in an eternal sort of sense. I'm going to come back to that later. Our choices, as I mentioned, Zach and Kim, a series of choices, Dante, others. I mean, there are so many headlines going on right now. I mean, they're just all popping out at me as I'm working on this series. I'm thinking, wow, people's moral compasses are pointing all over the place. These days, it's going everywhere. You know, not everybody picks God as their north. There are lots of other places and whatever north that people choose, an alternative north. You'll hear me say true north, alternative north. Many of you heard it's a big deal now down in Miami. Sports channel carried ESPN. The big news, LeBron James and some other folks are headed down to Miami to be part of the Miami Heat. And it was interesting. There was a headline that said, "All hail King James." Does that sound familiar? There's a song, right? "All hail King Jesus." Interesting. In an interesting sort of way, here's somebody's north. This man is going to take us to the promised land. What's that? An NBA title, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. So just interesting kind of things. As you kind of get into this with me over the series, this stuff's going to start to pop up on your radar screen. You go, wow, look at this, look at this, look at this. Look at me. Ooh, ouch. You know. So anyway, it has some interesting implications for us. All right. Now, I mentioned a little bit last week, I'm going to rely primarily on the book of Proverbs to do this series. So if you weren't here last week, let me just say, get a hold. If you don't have a Bible, see me. We'll get you one. Read the book of Proverbs. It's kind of in the middle of the Bible. You kind of open it up. You'll probably be pretty close to it. There are 31 chapters. So, you know, basically a day of the week, and by the end of the month, you'll have the book read. I'm going to give you, again, just a couple quick snippets here. Proverbs 29, verse 6. An evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous one can sing and be glad. In other words, the person whose moral compass is tuned into God as true north, what? Finds freedom and joy. And the evil person, that moral compass is turned to an alternative north, okay, sets him or herself up for punishment, snared by his own sin. So this issue, the idea of a direction for our moral compass and where it takes us, is very important. We see it right here. Another, real quick in Proverbs 5:21. For a man or a woman's ways all are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all of his paths. All of the paths, where does that person go? God's interested. All of our choices, our decisions, as our moral compass influences that, God takes notice. He does. He takes notice of the choices, the decisions that we make. It matters to him. So, next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs. Small group leaders, if you are looking for some study material for your groups, what I would suggest is hang on to your outlines, have your group members hang on to their outlines, and work on personal application on whatever it is that we talk about here on Sunday. Just continue talking about it in your small group. So it's an easy way to have something to work on. All right. Now, here's why I'm so excited about the book of Proverbs as it relates to this idea of our moral compass. The first few verses of the book of Proverbs, if you want to follow along, you can look at, up in there. I don't think we have it on here, do we? We have them on here as well. The next one, Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 6, do you have that up here too? Wow. Okay, I didn't expect that. Thank you. All right, listen to these words. Very, very exciting. The purpose of these Proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Those are important in terms of the choices that you make. And to help them understand wise sayings. Through these Proverbs, listen to this, people will receive instruction in discipline, good conduct, and doing what is right, just, and fair. Do you hear how each of those words has to do with our choices, our decision, the direction our life is going? So this book is going to help us in good conduct, doing what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will make the simple-minded clever. Now, simple-minded doesn't mean stupid, and it makes somebody smart, all right? Simple-minded means someone who is easily led astray, away from God. In fact, the word is seduced. The person who's easily seduced, all right, will become clever, meaning wise. Very important, all right? They will give, again, these words that we're going to be reading about in this 31 chapters, they will give knowledge and purpose to young people. Let those who are wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser, and let those who understand receive guidance, okay, we all need that, by exploring the depth of meaning in these Proverbs, parables, wise sayings, and riddles. In other words, the purpose of this collection of writings is to help us point our moral compass north. That's what it's saying. It will point us to God, a godly life, a life that God can be proud of, a life of full devotion, as our core value states. In verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools, again, another word for someone who's easily led astray, despise wisdom and discipline. Now, the fear of the Lord means reverence, respect, giving God a say in your life. That's what that means, all right? Is the beginning of knowledge. What does that mean? Knowledge is not just a collection of facts or information. When you hear the word knowledge in Scripture, here's what you need to know. It is something, to know something or someone in an intimate or interactive way. That's what it has to do. It includes all forms of intimacy, spiritual intimacy, social, relational, physical, sexual, all of that. In fact, there's kind of a, it was kind of a joke when I was a kid growing up. In the King James Version, it says, Adam knew Eve. You remember that? Some of you might remember that. That word knew is the same word here, knowledge. It has to do with an interactive intimacy, connection, communication. All right? We kind of knew that. That was kind of the joke back in the day. Yeah, he knew her all right. Well, so it's much more than just a collection of information, all right, and facts. Make sense? All right. Now, what this means for our purposes is when we make God our true north, we have an interactive, a two-way communication kind of relationship with God. We give him a leadership role in our life. We allow him to influence our choices and our decision making. So, one of the reasons that I want to talk to you about your moral compass and all these choices is because the spiritual options that exist out there now are absolutely all over the place. The spiritual options have existed over a long period of time, but now, because we're able to access more information than at any time in history, many more people are looking at the options spiritually and finding alternatives to God. Lots of possibilities. In some cases, I even see folks trying to, almost like cafeteria style, kind of pick this spiritual option and that piece and this piece. Like somehow it is a cafeteria. We can just kind of go around and pick up what we want. And there are catchwords that are very popular now in our culture. Things like karma, reincarnation, or coming back around again, or those kinds of things. That's information that is now available to us that wasn't, 50 or 100 years ago. It was to some folks, but not to most. So there are things that we need to be aware of. All right, now, I don't want to get too far into this with kind of addressing a couple of things. First of all, where does our moral compass come from? How did we end up with a moral compass? Well, in a nutshell, our moral compass has a spiritual origin, and it's then shaped in the context of our earthly relationships and our personal experiences. Let me start with the origin first. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, all the livestock, wild animals and small animals.' So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself, male and female, he created them." So part of being made in God's image means that we are made with a capacity to choose between good and evil, between right and wrong, to obey, to rebel. Ultimately, here's what we do. Ultimately, we pick, we need a smiley face, don't we? Yeah, we need a smiley face. That's a little dyslexia there. Okay. Okay, so there, that can be the hair. All right. Okay, we don't need ears, do we? No. Okay, all right. So ultimately, I'm not an artist, in case you didn't catch that. Ultimately, now, our lives are either going to go towards God or in an alternate direction, an alternate God. We discovered in our Life's Healing Choices series from January and February that this alternate God can be me or it can be anything else. But this capacity that we were created with, this moral compass, means everyone makes this decision. There are two options, God or an alternate God. Now, lots of options here. Many, many, many alternate north, alternate gods. But those are the two decisions, the two directions. And when we choose one of these two ways, our moral compass is then set by that. And the overall pattern, now there can be exceptions to the decisions that we make. We may be a person that's going towards God, and then we have a decision that will be really something not consistent with that direction. So you understand, the general pattern of our choices, our decision, our moral compass is going to take us either to God or to some alternate God. That is how we were made. Now, imagine this for a moment. We're talking about now the shaping. Okay, we got the moral compass because we were created in the image of God as moral beings. Now, how is this thing shaped? Well, this thing is shaped by the decisions that I make. So let's just say I've made a choice. All right? I've made a choice. Now, what happens once we make a choice? There are consequences, right? So the consequences of that choice, I process these consequences. I've just touched the stove. It's hot. That hurts like crazy. I don't think I want to do that again, right? So the consequences come back. I now process that. This thing right here, next time, I'm going to alter my choice. So there's a shaping that goes on of this moral compass, the general direction of our lives. And the shaping occurs in the context of our relationships, all right? And obviously, from the moment we are born, this shaping process begins. And so these little squirts that we see, even too young to be walking yet, their moral compasses, their choices, their decision-making process is all being shaped by parents and grandparents primarily. That's just how it starts off. Then it is also influenced and shaped by teachers and Sunday school teachers and friends, family members, extended family, neighbors, and so forth. So all of those relationships are very important, take on a higher level of importance as you think about the ultimate kind of destinations that come out of this sort of thing. Now, our moral compass is also shaped by what we read, by what we watch, by what we listen to. It's shaped by the culture that we are raised in. I was raised in a Dutch culture, very conservative, very opinionated, very stubborn. Lots of cultures have that reputation, but that's kind of the Dutch culture's reputation. But at the time, we live in that culture. I wasn't raised 100 years ago. Well, some of you might think so, but I'm not. I was raised more recently than that. So at the time we experienced the culture, a Dutch culture, an Italian culture, English culture, whatever it is, it's also, you know, embedded in a time in history. Our moral compass is shaped by the places that we hang out, where we spend our time. Going to the bar or going to the library makes a difference on the shaping of your moral compass. It's also shaped by our socioeconomic level. Whether I've been raised with wealth or poverty influences the decisions that I make. I have had to struggle because I was raised in relative poverty when it comes to having things I want. I've talked to you about that before. I've had to really struggle with that. My moral compass, my decision-making was influenced by my socioeconomic level, as all of us. It's also shaped by where we're educated. What kind of education do you receive? It influences our moral compass. And again, we talked about spiritual influences, what kind of things we're exposed to, also shapes it. For example, if you grew up in, there are lots of places around the world, but I was just kind of, when I wrote this down, like voodoo. It's a big deal in some parts of the South, especially kind of in the Louisiana area. If you were raised around that, that has an impact on the kind of choices you make, how you look at life, how you think about God or an alternative north, or if you were raised in India as a Hindu. It all makes a difference. All right, so a lot of things, we get it. It has a spiritual origin, and then it's shaped by everything that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. Stuff from inside of us, stuff from the outside. All right, now let's take a look at how it works. How does the moral compass work? How does it kind of come to expression in our day-to-day choices that we make? I'm going to be relying, and this is kind of where the series will kick off next week. I'm going to be using the book of Proverbs, and there are a number of body-related words in the book of Proverbs that really capture our choices, our decision-making. And I'm going to be using these words, ears, eyes, hands, feet, and tongue. Now, there are words related to those, like stand, or reach, or walk, run, things like that, that will be kind of brought into that. But those are going to form kind of the rest of the series. In fact, I think I'm going to put ears and eyes together because they're kind of like the custom agents, if you want to think of like a border crossing. What gets in? What gets in? Eyes and ears have a lot to do with that. Hands, things we do. Feet, places we go or places we don't go. Things like, so we're going to use those concepts look at this whole notion of the moral compass and north. Again, just a real quick snippet, Proverbs 6, 16. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. First one, haughty eyes, which is arrogance, pride. A lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil. Now, the heart is another word, and I'll explain more about this later, that is really about what I'm talking about, the moral compass. In the book of Proverbs, heart and mind, when you see that, kind of think moral compass. All right? So a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, and here are two more that have to do with the tongue. A false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord among brothers. All right? So that's what we're going to use as kind of the basis for the series. Now, let me just take a moment to talk about the relevance of this notion. What does it have to do with our lives? Why are we going to bother talking about this? Anybody watching America's Got Talent? Anybody watching it? Okay, a few folks. My goodness, all right. Only a few of you are going to get this. It is a talent show open to a variety of different kinds of acts. Singing, dancing, juggling, danger things, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, it's they go around the country, they take auditions, and then they put together a field of about 150, take them to Hollywood, no, to Las Vegas, and then they whittle it down to about 48 some folks. Then they take them to Hollywood, and now they're performing in front of millions of people and a much larger live audience. Here's what happened. In the auditions, it was a few weeks ago. Again, I've been working on this for a little while, so this stuff is just popping out at me. A little guy, C.J. Dipper is his name. He's 11 years old. He looks like he's probably, I don't know, 9 or so. He's not very big. Little white kid did a rap song that he wrote. Very impressive. This kid was skilled. But here's why I want to bring it up. One of the judges, Howie Mandel, said to him, this is almost an exact quote, "You better drop whatever girlfriend you have now, because after this performance, you're going to be getting a lot of better offers." Think about that. Not only does that say something about Howie Mandel's moral compass, he's influencing this young kid with that moral compass, encouraging him to look at, and he's, please, don't tell me 11-year-olds are dating. Okay, that's even crazier. But if he was, if he, quote, had a girlfriend, think about that for a second. Trash that relationship. It's meaningless. It has no value. You're going to get better offers. Okay, that's the world we live in, folks. That's why I want to talk about a moral compass. The direction of your life. This stuff has day-to-day application. All right? Here's why this is so relevant. Because based on my moral compass, what my true north is, I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going to be an honest and reliable employee. Whether or not I will pay my taxes or try to cheat. Will I be faithful to my spouse or not? Will I use my hands and my mind for honest work or to take what doesn't belong to me? Will I obey traffic laws or ignore them? Will I treat others with respect or will life be all about me? Will I say something to a sales clerk only if I'm given too much change or if they short me? Will I decide to have sex before getting married or will I wait? Will I do what I promise or do I do what's convenient to me? Will I support my local church with my tithes and offerings, or will I keep all my money for myself? Will I judge others, or leave that up to God? Will I gossip when given the chance, or refuse to do so? Will I live life as a victim or a victor? Will I be a taker or a giver, a lover or a fighter? What kind of choices am I going to make over the course of my life? They matter to God. We read that. He observes all those decisions. He takes note of the direction our moral compass points and how that gets worked out in the context of our day-to-day life. I remember as a high school student, I'd been dating this girl for several months, and I was considering ending that relationship. The guys I hung out with said to me, David, actually it was Voss, they call me Voss. Anyway, I hated it. Voss, she likes you. You know, it would be stupid to end this relationship without having sex with her first. Yeah, that was the advice. Okay, that was the moral compass of the folks that I hung out with. Now, thankfully, I didn't follow through on that suggestion. But I look back at it and think, okay, if I was a little bit bothered by their suggestion, why wasn't I bothered by the fact that they were my friends? See? Our moral compass, our decision-making, our mindset is affected by the people we hang out with, isn't it? It is, by the things that we watch and look at, all that kind of stuff. Now, Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 11, that, again, that may be up here. That's a lot. I don't know if you put all that on. You did. Okay. It says this, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path." Okay? Every good path. Those are paths. All right? Every good path. "For wisdom will enter your heart." That's, again, the influence on your moral compass. All right? "And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." You'll welcome that good stuff in. "Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you." The nature of that character of your heart, your moral compass, has implications galore all over the place. Do you hear some of the stuff that's in here? "You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We talked about the word knowledge, that interactive intimacy where God gets permission to influence your day-to-day decisions. "Fear, I will understand the full influence of God in my life, and I will welcome that. I have an awe, a reverence." It doesn't mean scared. It means awe, respect. I in a sense, worship. I bow down before and let God lead my life to help me make my decisions. Not just on Sunday or not just in terms of spiritual activities. Every aspect of life, you let God influence how you live your life. Again, what are some other implications? He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. What does that mean? God will empower you to make choices that triumph over the power of sin. Think about that. The power of sin is something every one of us has to deal with on a daily basis. It's the kind of thing that takes us away from God, from our true north. Do you want that kind of influence? Are you willing to let God be in the middle of your life in such a way that he can give you power over temptation? Or do you kind of want to let temptation have its course sometimes? Those are things we have to deal with, choices we have to make. But do you want that kind of influence empowering God to do that in your life? And then The last thing I want to look at is the relevance of this moral compass, this decision-making, our heart, will God be my true north or not? Relating our moral compass to our eternal destiny. All right? Whatever I pick as my north, okay, whether this is going to be my north or whether this is going to be my north, whatever north I pick for my moral compass means I end up somewhere. Okay? If you're following a compass, it takes you to a destination, right? Make sense? Okay. So, when I point my compass to God, it takes me in a direction for eternity. All right? When I pick a direction that's an alternative north, it also takes me a direction for eternity. We have, while we are living and breathing on this earth, the capacity for choice about which direction will my life go. But we only have that capacity to choose while we still have breath in this life. Some folks will go this way all their life, and at the end, they start to sense they don't like the direction they're headed. And they say, you know what? I think I need to alter course. I need a different north in my life. Some people will choose God on their deathbed. Some of you here will even be able to testify, you made that decision. You didn't even really realize you made it. You just always kind of been a follower of Jesus. You just kind of grew up that way. Some folks have that as their testimony. I've just always kind of picked Jesus. You were introduced to him at a young age, and you just kind of lived out that life. So, here's the thing. You get this life as your one shot at your eternal destiny. Once life is over, you don't come back again on this earth in any form. I don't care if it's as a person, as a cat, as a tree. It isn't going to happen. All right? I understand. I'm not trying to mock anybody else's faith. I'm just saying, based on the Word of God, which we believe to be true, you've got one shot. While you still have breath, you can still pick. Okay? You're not going to end up in purgatory with another shot at getting this thing figured out and getting it right. It doesn't happen that way, all right? And again, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying, based on the Word of God, we do not believe there are choices or chances after we're no longer breathing. It happens while we're walking, breathing. Well, you can be laid into bed, but you understand. While you're still alive, you have the opportunity to make a choice. After that, you don't, all right? So, the implications for this are not just the choices and the consequences of our choices on a day-to-day basis while we're living on this earth. This is very important. The quality of my life, the quality of the life of the people we're in relationship with, our wife, our husband, our kids, our grandkids, co-workers, whatever, we make an impact based on the condition of the character of our moral compass. But the choices go beyond that. The implications, the consequences go beyond that. There is an eternal consequence as well. All right? So, this is kind of the launch. This is what we're going to be working with for the next few weeks. Next week, I'm going to be talking about hands. Hands. And how we see it show up. We're going to have some examples of what folks did in the Bible with hands. The one after that is going to be feet, and then probably ears and eyes together, and the one on the tongue will be last. I could do a whole series on the tongue. There is, oh wow, the book of Proverbs. Interesting. Here's one that'll just kind of get your interest. This is an exact quote, but better to live on the corner of your roof than in the home of a quarrelsome woman.
Amen.
Oh! that better be a big corner of the roof. You know, so the book of Proverbs is filled with all kinds, sometimes very humorous sorts of things. So that's what we're going to be laying out. Now, we have, before we wrap up, if I can get my ushers to come up here a second and grab some compasses and hand these things out. I've got also, now these are the ones, they're still wrapped in plastic, all right? These are the ones that do not have magnets. These have magnets. If you think you'd like to put one on your refrigerator just to kind of use for this series or whatever, if you don't have your, well, put your hand up if you want one with a magnet, okay? If you just want a compass, keep your hand down, and Michael will come and give you a one without a magnet on it. All right, they'll get around. All right, just give them a second; they'll be there. All right. So, but before I forget, are there any small group leaders that know right now that you want to use this these teaching outlines for your small group? Just raise your hand. One right here. Okay. If you're in Ed's small group, okay, Ed's small group is going to be, so hang on to your teaching outline. All right? Eric, did you get that? Hang on to your teaching outline because Ed's small group is going to be using the teaching outline. All right? Okay. All right. And if you change your mind next week, just tell your folks during the week. Say, hey, you know what? We're going to hang on to it. Maybe you want to finish something you're working on right now, but you want to come back to it. Just hang on to it. All right? Just hang on to it. Okay. So, yes, if you got one of the magnet, whatever. Some of you still have an old metal dashboard in your car. That's a thing of the past, but you can put it in your car. Yeah, I was going to say, Gordon may be the only one that has a metal dashboard. But refrigerators, whatever, just this is kind of a reminder, all right? It's a reminder to be thinking about your decisions. It's a reminder that there's an ultimate direction, not just in this life, but for eternity, that's going to come out of this, all right? And also, let it be a reminder to be reading in the book of Proverbs. If you see it every day, think about one chapter at least, all right? Now, I'll bring these back again next week, and I'll make a few more so that folks who weren't here today can kind of get caught up on this and grab a compass next week, so we'll make some more of those. But let's wrap up. Let's pray right now. Worship team, come on back up here, and let me get this down so you have a place to stand up here. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this time together this morning. Thank you for the energy, the enthusiasm that we felt singing earlier this morning, helping us just be reminded again of bringing you glory, showing you our love, worshiping you, adoring you. Thank you that we could fellowship for a few moments, that we could give to you again, tithes and offerings reflecting our love for you and acknowledging your generosity to us. And thank you for these moments that we could open the Word. And look at something so basic but so incredibly important. Who you are to us. Whether we'll let you be our true north or whether we want that to be something else. But doing it knowing that there are consequences day to day and ultimately where our eternal destiny is. Lord, my prayer this morning is that everyone in this room would choose you as the true north. That they would let your word guide, discipline, inform, encourage, correct, teach on a day-to-day basis. Lord, I just want to pray again for our small group leaders and our small group members as they grow in faith, as they grow closer in fellowship, as they reach out into their networks of friends and family and co-workers to bring others in. Lord, help us not to grow weary of well-doing, but to keep being spurred on to finish this race. Holy Spirit, as we focus in these next several weeks, help us to welcome your presence and your influence, to tap into the wisdom that is available to us, so the choices, decisions that we make truly do make you proud, are a blessing to us and to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but spiritually I feel like I've just been hit over the head with a baseball bat. I feel like God is just speaking to me about all of the choices that I've ever made in my entire life, and kind of had just a brief glimpse of how I should alter my choices. One choice that I'm very glad that I made was marrying my wife, Jean. Many of you don't know this, but on our vacation, we celebrated our 8th wedding anniversary on the 29th of June.
Congratulations.
And marriage is not easy, but because we chose to follow the Lord together, we continue to endure. So I want to praise God for that. I just want to close. Pray for me, okay? I'm going to read again from Proverbs chapter 5. It says, mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you. You'll find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you in a dead end. So our question as we leave today is, where do you want your compass to point? And I want mine to point to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My Redeemer lives. Let's celebrate together.
I know He rescued my soul. His blood covers my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe. I'll raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives.
Yes, He does.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
We are on fire this morning.
I know He rescued my soul. His blood covers my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe. I'll raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
All the time.
My Redeemer lives.
Here we go.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
Amen.
All right. Love that song. That's a great one for our ending. I think this would be a great song for our series. This is good. All right. So we'd like to collect your communication cards. Please pass those into the middle. Miss Betty and I will sort through those in just a moment. Oh, also, I forgot. Judy brought in a double feature movie, The Perfect Stranger and Another Perfect Stranger. Two very interesting DVDs. Anyone that would like to borrow it and return it either this week or... what's that? Okay. Marie would like it right after you're finished with it. All right.
Pastor,
yes, sir.
The medical clinic is this week also.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And it could be there's not anyone in here who needs that, but you may know of somebody out there who needs that kind of care and support.
Absolutely. This Tuesday, 9 to noon, it's for folks who do not have medical care and are homeless or, again, let me refresh your memory, couch homeless. Couch homeless means you live in someone else's home. You might be there on a permanent basis, but it's not, quote, your house. You live in somebody else's home. So those folks are also eligible if they don't have care or don't have medical coverage, all right? So if you're not sure, have them call, or on the back of your bulletin is Maria's number, our church social worker, and she can direct you to their phone number if you need to call and ask, all right, or their website, get information. But, again, this is a ministry that we are... very glad to have housed here every couple weeks. So anybody that needs it, all right, make sure you tap into it. Okay, before we take off, please receive this blessing from the Lord. May the love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship, the fullness of the Holy Spirit be with you, influencing your moral compass, your choices this week. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Bring a friend next week.